Let's read together Ezra chapter 5. In this chapter, work begins again on the temple of the Lord, 15 years after the foundation was laid. And of course, opposition to the work continues. Let's begin by reading the first two verses of the chapter. Ezra chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Let's consider a few background notes now as we begin our study of Ezra chapter 5. In Ezra chapter 4, we saw the foundation laid for the new rebuilt temple, sometimes called Zerubbabel's temple. Remember, about 50,000 Jews had returned from their captivity in Babylon under the leadership of Zerubbabel in 538 BC. They laid the foundation for the new temple in 535 BC. But because of opposition from the surrounding foreign peoples, the work was delayed for 15 years, all the way down to 520 BC. Look again at the last verse of chapter 4. Thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. This is Darius I of Persia. It was during his reign that God graciously raised up two prophets from among the returned captives to motivate the people to get on with the work of rebuilding the house of the Lord. These two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, along with Malachi, who comes a little later, wrote the last three books that we have in our Old Testament. Now, as a result of the ministries of Haggai and Zechariah, the rebuilt temple was completed in 516 BC, 4 years after Haggai and Zechariah had motivated the people to get back to the work of rebuilding the house of the Lord. Now, we'll see the completion of the temple in chapter 6. But here in chapter 5, once again, we see the opposition that the people faced as they did this good work of rebuilding the temple. And that brings us now to our doctrinal points for Ezra chapter 5. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the teaching of the word will motivate God's people. The teaching of the word will motivate God's people. Why, after 15 years of apathy, apprehension, and fear, were the people motivated once again to start rebuilding the temple? Answer, the teaching of God's word. If you look at the content of the book of Haggai, you will find exhortation based on God's word. And if you look at the content of the book of Zechariah, you will find encouragement based on God's word. Haggai is a series of fiery sermonettes to exhort the people to do the work of the Lord. And Zechariah is a series of visions to encourage the people to do the work of the Lord. Exhortation and encouragement from the word are both needed to motivate God's people, then and today. Listen to the exhortation in one of Haggai's sermons from Haggai chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house." You see, the people were spending more time on their own houses than on the house of the Lord. Sound convicting? It should. This is exhortation. Notice how Haggai's exhortation was based on what God had said in his word in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If they would trust and obey, he would bless their land. But if they would not trust and obey, he would send drought on their land. And indeed, it took place. So Haggai's exhortation was based on the word of God. Now listen to the encouragement from one of Zechariah's visions. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Zechariah's encouragement was also rooted in what God had already declared in his word about the glorious future for Israel. So Zechariah's encouragement was based on the word. Exhortation and encouragement from God's word motivated the people of God in that day. And the same is true today. A steady diet of expository ministry from the word of God is the key to the best kind of church growth. The teaching of the word will motivate God's people. Doctrinal point number two. The tactics of the enemy should challenge God's people. The tactics of the enemy should challenge God's people. Verses 3 through 17. Ezra chapter 5, beginning now at verse 3. At the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozni and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them, "Who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall?" Then accordingly we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till a report should go to Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai sent. The governor of the region, beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozni and his companions, the Persians, who were in the region beyond the river, to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, "To Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones, and timber is being laid in the walls, and this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands." Then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, "Who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls?" We also asked them their names to inform you, that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. And thus they returned us an answer, saying, "We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. But because our fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried into the temple of Babylon, those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said to him, 'Take these articles, go carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site.' Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction and it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter." In Ezra chapter 4, we had an overview of the opposition that the people faced when they returned to the land. Now here in chapter 5, we have some more details of that opposition. Remember, the Persian Empire was in power at this time. So Tattenai would have been a high-ranking official under Darius, the Persian king. He would have had responsibilities to govern a good portion of what we call the Middle East today. Shethar-Bozni was probably his assistant. These Persian officials came and challenged God's people and demanded to know where they had received authority to rebuild this temple. And then these officials wrote a letter to King Darius requesting an investigation of this matter. Now notice two very significant points about the content of this official letter. Number one, Israel used this challenge as an opportunity to witness for the Lord. Did you notice that? This whole letter, written by these pagan Persian officials to Darius, is sprinkled with references to the one true God of Israel. Israel gave a great testimony to these officials. And number two, these Persian officials could not deny the fact that the God of Israel was blessing his people and that the people were committed to the work. Look once again at verse 8. This is part of the letter that's going back to King Darius. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones, and timber is being laid in the walls, and this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. What a great testimony. Let me ask you, do our unsaved neighbors say the same thing about us? Do you see the lesson in all of this for us today? As God's people, we face opposition from the enemy, and Satan uses many tactics to stop us from serving the Lord. But let's maintain our good testimony, and let's use these challenges as opportunities to witness for our Lord as Israel did. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Remember how the Apostle Paul used every opportunity, even his trials before Felix and Festus and Caesar himself, to testify for the Lord. We should do the same. Is your faith being challenged right now by the opposition? In your place of employment or education? Use it as an opportunity to share your faith. You know, I know Christian high school students and college students who have used the enemy's godless theory of evolution as a challenge, not only to refute the false claims, but to actually witness to the God of creation. The tactics of the enemy should challenge God's people. Practical application from Ezra chapter 5. Remember, God is in control of the opposition. Remember, God is in control of the opposition. You know, some Christians have the idea that Satan is in control of the opposition and that Satan can do anything he wants. No, God is in ultimate control of the opposition. Look once again at verse 5. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius. God so controlled the opposition here that the work did not stop while it was being challenged. There was a limit to what the enemy could do because God's eye was on his people. Aren't you glad that God has his eye on his people? God is in control. Remember the story of Job? Satan was limited to what God allowed him to do in Job's life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us that we will never be tempted or tested beyond the limits of what we can handle. God will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able to bear. Remember, God is in control of the opposition.